ones that did the work are still out cleaning up, I think, but they'll be in. So there's Tina. Thank you. Thank all of you that helped with the lunch. It was beautiful. Very nice. And where's Vi? Yeah, there she is. Vi, thank you. Well done. Great job. You blessed us. Yeah. Thank you. I have copious notes from this morning, but I love this. We're not here just to survive the evil, but we're here to extend the kingdom. Right? It's profound when you think about it. That needs to be our mindset as believers. So, yeah, we're blessed. So, again, welcome back from the luncheon, and thank you for staying with us and looking forward to the next session. Thanks for the great challenges, brother. Yeah, so I'll turn this over to you, and let's do this. Thank you.
Absolutely. This has been such a joy. You enjoying this? Amen. 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 You know, you get these quotes, and a lot of times there are times I preach, I said, I'm going to buy the tape. I want to hear what I said. Because God gives you things by revelation that were not in your notes or anything. I remember I was preaching one time in California, and there was a little house church in Mission Viejo? Mission Viejo, years ago. We had quite a service in that house. I mean, it almost seemed like the house was filled with smoke. There was almost such a physical manifestation of the presence of God in the middle of ministering that I had to stop ministering. And we really met with God that night. People were touched. There was a lot of personal ministry, so on and so forth. So I came back, the word I was ministering had to do with victory and overcoming, and you know. So a year later, I came back, and one of the ladies that were in the meeting, a young lady, she came, oh, Pastor Phil, you said something last year. And of course, so I said, well, what was it? That all victory begins with a stance. Like, so that quote. She goes, it so impacted me, I got it tattooed across my back. I stood there dumbfounded. I said, like, you did that? Oh, yeah. Like, it really meant something. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I don't want to see it. I'm not looking to see it. I'll take your word for it, but you didn't, like, put the quote and then, like, my name under it. She laughed because I didn't. Want my name tattooed on a woman's back. I'm glad. I was almost sorry I said it. I'm telling you. Yeah, don't tattoo it, brother. That's all right. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're talking about the role of prayer. We're talking about extending the kingdom of God through prayer, and it's through prayer in our priestly ministry that the Lord has enabled us to participate in, which was not available in any other covenant. You were either called to be a priest, you had to be born of the line of Aaron. But with Christ, a whole new priesthood changed. He's of the order, because he was not of the Levitical tribe. As you know, he was of the tribe of Judah, from which there was never a priest. But he changed the priesthood. It's after the order of Melchizedek, which the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 7. And it's an eternal priesthood that never changes. And Christ is made a better high priest over the house of God. So he created a whole new line of priestly ministers that have access and are priests forever, actually, which speaks of our relating to God, union with God, which is forever, and he made a way for us to participate. Now, it's through the preaching of the gospel, obviously, but again, if we don't really see what could be accomplished through prayer, prayer will become, it's very easy for prayer to become a religious duty. And once it becomes a religious duty, pretty soon there'll be prayerlessness. any little thing could subvert spending time with God, because you really haven't entered into the joy and the experience and the reality of what we have in prayer. And that's why sharing the Word of God, provoking each other, encouraging one another, some of the greatest meetings I've been in have been in prayer meetings. Been very, very powerful. I'll give you a testimony. I'm thinking now, is, did I ever share about this woman, Angela? I don't know that I did. When I pastored in Boston, I pastored 10 years, and we had like a little Gideon's army. I mean, we never had more than 50 or 60 people, but I'm telling you, we did the work of hundreds. We had outreach. We put up a tent. We had ministry to a housing project. There was 2,000 people that lived in this project. It was like a world of its own. And every Saturday, we God opened the door for us to bring sandwiches, so on, to the children. We ministered to the children. So every Saturday, we had Saturday's sidewalk Sunday school on Saturday. And we put out all of these tarps, these blue tarps. We'd have seating on the tarps. And I had different individuals that served with us in the ministry. And they would have ministry to children. And then we'd bring sandwiches. And through the children, then they were the gateway to many times their mothers and the adults. Powerful time. But we were this tight little army, you know. But I remember we always had Tuesday night prayer meeting. It was, we had it for 10 years. Tuesday night was prayer meeting. There were more things done in prayer. But one of the testimonies I wanted to give you was there was a woman that showed up at the prayer meeting. She wound up coming to our church then, but she came during the prayer meeting. And it was an inner city church in Boston. And then we specifically prayed for our city in the prayer meeting. At the end then, before we concluded, any needs represented, you know, we didn't concentrate our prayer meeting on just praying for our needs. We were there to do business with God on behalf of our city. So we cried out to God for our city. But before we'd leave, any needs represented, you know, then we pray for one another. Well, this woman said, I have a daughter. Her name is Angela. And Angela is a prostitute. And Angela, and there's a famous area there in Boston called the Combat Zone. That's what they call it, the Combat Zone. It's a really bad area, especially at the time. You know, drugs, prostitution, fights. You didn't really want to go there. So she's there. And the mother had a burden, obviously, for her daughter. And so we began to pray for Angela. So, all right, we're going to lift her up. And then she became part of our prayer agenda on Tuesdays. So we'd cry out to God for Angela. God, do miracles. Get a hold of Angela, so on and so forth. Anyway, several months later, Angela is doing what she does. And a businessman connects with her. Next thing you know, she goes to this, you know, horrible place with this businessman. And he paid a price to have her. They get in that room. He sits down and takes out a Bible. And he starts reading the Bible to Angela. Angela goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Out now." He says, "You're mine for a half hour." He said, "You sit right down here. I'm going to read you this Bible." Well, she began to manifest. I mean, she began to scream at him. She took his money and wadded it up and hit him off the head with it. "Take your money. I don't want your Bible. I don't want your money." And she ran out and left. She goes on the street. Now, we don't know any of this until later on. She goes out on the street. Gets in the cab and wants to go to another part of the combat zone. She gets in there. She tells the cab driver where. So he drives, makes a turn, pulls up on the sidewalk, turns around, starts reading the Bible to her. The cab driver. She goes, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I don't know if you'll understand this." He said, "The Lord told me the next person that gets in my car, I was to read this scripture to." and you're the next person. She couldn't believe it. And, of course, he didn't know what happened, but to her, it became a sign. So Angela gets out of the cab, and as she's walking to where she wants to go, she starts weeping. The Lord comes on her. She calls her mother, the mother who comes to our prayer meeting and now comes to our church. And she said, Angela, what else does God have to do? He's showing you. You need to come home, Angela. Well, she came home. She wound up coming to the church. Of course, came to the prayer meeting, but came to the church and became one of the most faithful women. And she had quite the gifts, too. She could organize. I mean, so she was an incredible testimony. Now, I believe that we had audience with God. And God dispatches angels. God begins. Now, we don't know how he does it. That's the adventure. But it says, while Peter was in prison, Herod was determined to kill him like James. He was just waiting till after Passover. Then we're going to kill him, going to execute him. It says, but prayer was made to God for him. They began to pray very specifically. And before you know it, angel is dispatched. Peter's asleep. Angel hits him on the side. Get up. What in the world's going on? He gets up. Chains fall off. And all these supernatural things happen. And then he says, follow me. And he don't even know, is this a vision? He's following the angel. Doors are opening of their own accord. The iron gate opens, leads to the city. He's out of prison and supernaturally goes to the house of Mary where many were gathered praying. That's the early church. That's the church extending the kingdom, manifesting the kingdom, and interacting with God and involved with supernatural things here. We have to rediscover that. We've got to rediscover that. So no matter what the situation, no matter what the person, they're not beyond the reach of prayer. Not beyond, God's armor is not too short that he cannot save. And so I just pray that some of the prayer fires are being fanned in our time together. Ask largely of the Lord. Tie it to his will, meaning discover it. And I encourage people, find a promise in the word concerning your situation. What did God say about it? Lord, you said. And then as you spend time before God, he'll give you even his rhema. He'll give you specific things and quicken his word. And that's how we pray. We don't just unburden our hearts and then say, okay, well, then that's it. No, we actually talk to God about what God has already said about the situation. And as a result, we see then circumstances. We are to stand. Now, it may not even happen in our lifetime. Prayers outlive us. If I pray according to the will of God, the prayer doesn't expire when I expired. So we enter into the labors of others. There are prayers that have been prayed for this nation that have been covenantal in nature. And I believe that. I believe that. So that God answers prayer, whether we see it or not, I believe that. That's what the word of God says. And he will. John Wesley said, he discovered God will do nothing except in answer to prayer. The great evangelist. He makes, say, well, what caused it? I thought God's will was done. It is. But he makes us, he stirs our heart. He makes us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I believe it's actually the Holy Spirit stirring our heart to pray. But the place that we occupy in the earth legally that God gave us, when we begin then to voice what God has said, there is a legal order and jurisdiction where God begins to move in the territory. So we got to understand the way these things operate. So let's continue a little bit. And again, without going through all the scriptures, if you look at the life of Jesus, there's a constancy of prayer. I wrote a few things down. At the time when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, in Luke 3:21, it says, being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. And that little and praying, the heavens were opened. Before he chose 12, it says he went into a mountain to pray in Luke 6, and he continued all night in prayer. And after he came all night, he chose 12. I believe it was the Father. The Father directed him, because he said later on, when he was about to go to the cross in John 17, he said, of those that you've given me, I lost none, except the son of perdition, who was determined. There had to be a betrayal. But God gave him these names. Jesus said, of myself I can do nothing, speaking of his humanity. But as I see the Father work, I work. Where did he see the Father work? He actually lived in communion with the Father. Now, he had no sin to contend with, but he was tempted in all points, like as we were. But he saw what the Father wanted to do. He always waited upon God. You know, Jesus becomes our example. He's the pattern son for all of us sons. And that includes you women. Hey, if I got to be a bride, you got to be a son. This is not gender specific. It has to do with what it means, placement, what it means. Yes. Jesus' own lifestyle, Mark 1, verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place, he prayed. Mount of Transfiguration, he prayed. Raising of Lazarus, he prayed. Prayer, prayer, prayer. He interceded. He told Simon Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you, but I prayed. As though Jesus believed his prayer made the difference. Of course he did. Satan, if he would have had his way, he would have torn you apart. What he intended for evil, but I prayed that your faith would not fail. Therefore, he already concluded, when you're converted. Satan didn't even do his plan yet. You're coming through, and you're going to be changed. He means it for evil. God will incorporate it for your change. Strengthen your brethren. How did all that even wind up? That? Because I prayed. I inserted prayer into the situation. Facing his darkest hour in Gethsemane, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. On the cross, first thing Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's even praying on the cross. You want him to stop praying? You're going to have to kill him. Because he lives in union with the Father in his humanity, in the days of his flesh. And if he did, how much more? Should the church live with that kind of dependency? We can go to the praying church of Acts. They weren't any more gifted than we are. The problem is we probably are more gifted. We got more at our disposal that can get things done, but we learn to depend on those things. Their real gift, their real grace was they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. And many times in our own lives, God brings us through a journey that strips us of all human dependency. Our money fails us, people fail us, things we used to depend on, things we don't realize how much we did depend on it until we have to depend on it, and God allows it to fail us. He'll allow people to fail us. He'll allow all these things to fail us so that we will learn an incredible lesson. Jesus is all I need when you realize he's all you have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we don't answer the call of prayer, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. I've often said this about the Apostle Paul. Now, there's not a man on the earth that shook the earth more than Paul that had less available to him. He didn't have any special technology. He had nothing. Just himself and an obedient heart. Called to be an apostle, he did special miracles, as you well know. Abundant in revelation. Even Peter says he's got a wisdom from God that he writes things hard to be understood. And there are those that come and they twist. They wrest the script. They twist what he has to their own destruction. He had more revelation about Christ than the people that walked with him. I mean, it's amazing what Paul had. But because of that, lest he be exalted above measure, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan himself was allowed to buffet my flesh. Why? So that I would be dependent upon God. And I discover then when I'm weak, then am I strong. He said, and in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. There's another example of what Satan means to destroy Paul. God says, all right, go ahead, see what happens. Paul discovers Christ's power is on him. So now he says, now I rejoice in my infirmities. What I was asking God to take away three times, now I'm inviting. Because I learned when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Wow. But how do you stop a guy like that? You can't. You got to cut his head off. I mean, that's it. He's unstoppable. Incredible. Never had a victim's mentality. But he always saw God. God is involved. And so when you think about the Apostle Paul, you think about he's a teacher, he's an apostle, he's planting churches. But when God first got hold of him, God speaks to a little disciple, Ananias. And I have my own opinion as to why he got Ananias. You know, you think God would have spoke to Peter. This is going to be a big bass right here. You think God would get one of the big-time apostles to minister. God gets a little, you never hear of Ananias again. He's just a regular disciple. Maybe he's a mailman. I don't know what he is, but he's not an apostle. Oh, Ananias, yes, Lord. And he's probably this young guy. He's probably, oh, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. God said, all right. He said, I've got Saul. Saul of Tarsus? Lord, have you heard? That's what Ananias said. Are you kidding me? I'll go to Africa. I'd rather go to Africa than Saul. No, he said, well, me and Saul had a little meeting. He says, and he's my chosen vessel. I showed him what things he must suffer. And here's what God says. Go on a street called Straight. I got him on a straight street now. Into the house of Judas. Isn't that interesting? The greatest apostle is going to come out of the house of one named Judas, the name of a betrayer. He said, you go and you inquire of him, for behold, he prays. The first ministry of Paul was not preaching, was not teaching, was not apostling, was not planning a church. It was praying. And as he's praying, here comes Ananias. And I love how he introduces himself. He goes, Brother Saul, he uses brother. He wants to make sure I heard, you are Brother Saul, right? Yeah, come in. Man, I've been praying. Well, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, even Jesus has sent me unto thee that you might receive your sight. Can you imagine that? Because he was blind for 3 days. Receive your sight and that you might be baptized. So he was baptized by Ananias. I wonder, now it's not in the Bible, but once Saul became Paul, I wonder if Ananias went around telling people, guess who I baptized? He probably was more holy than that, but I tell you what, I might have testified a time or two. So I know, you heard about Paul? Oh yeah, have you read his letter? Yeah, I baptized him, you know, it's like, yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness. Yep. And then, of course, Jesus told us, you know, how we ought to pray, thy kingdom come. Now, I want to give you three things, and then we'll end it with this. In order for you, I call this the portrait of an intercessor. Again, no matter what your calling is in the body and to the body, as important as that is, every one of us should aspire to be that, because we have audience with God, and your prayers will make a difference when you pray according to the will of God in Jesus' name. So powerful. But I'm going to give you three things that makes you a powerful intercessor. Number one, be aware and convinced of God's character. You got to know who you're praying to. God's character and nature. That's the foundation. What is God's character and nature? Most importantly, grow in grace concerning God's character and nature. Jesus came revealing God's character and nature. It could be well said that's what he came to do on the way to why he came, the cross. He came to lay his life down and become a ransom for many. We know that. But what did he do for 3.5 years to get there? He could have went right from the waters of baptism and go right to the cross. What did he do for 3.5 years? He came to reveal the Father. At every turn, he's revealing the Father. And I tell you what, it's really captured in the setting when he's preaching and teaching the multitude. And he says, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, would you lay on him a serpent? Of course not. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask, and then another place, to his children. So he was revealing God's character. The essential character of God could be captured in goodness. Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Exodus 34. Show me your glory, the essence of who you are. You know what God's response was? There's a place by me, a cleft in the rock. You got to be positioned right. Now we know Christ is the rock. You'll never really know who God is until you get in Christ. But he said, you get into the right position. God's answer to a man's cry, show me your glory, was this. I will cause my goodness to pass by you. My goodness. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. I grew up in a religion, and basically all religions are this way, that misrepresented God. They put a God consciousness, but it was a religious one. And I grew up believing that God was just holding a lightning bolt, and he was waiting for me to mess up. That somehow God delighted in judging. He delighted in punishing. And so we were very aware of a God who punishes. I said, you know, I grew up, if something really went wrong, there could be the idea, ooh, you know, God's judgment. But when things go right, we never thought of God's beautiful blessings. We never thought that way in religion. And any religion and every religion, even false religions, they depict God like that. That's why it's through works they're always wanting to appease God. It's to assuage his judgment. So there's fasting, there's praying. But we do fast and pray. But it's not to try to keep God's judgment off me. It's the motivation that changes. It's to draw close to God. It is to keep our flesh at bay, but not because I wake up knowing his mercies anew every morning. Hallelujah. If the Lord would mark our iniquities, who could stand? That's what Jeremiah said. But great is thy faithfulness. Steadfast love of the Lord never changes. Never. God doesn't get moody. He is the same. I love what James says. It says that all wisdom he gives, that God gives every good and perfect gift, comes from above, even from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does all that mean? That means that you don't get one kind of God on Tuesday and another kind of God on Wednesday. Now, it could happen with a wife, and it could happen with a husband. Come on. How many know you can have things that bother you, and all of a sudden you become a grouch? Or a wife becomes bothered. I love the little commercial. The wife comes yelling at her husband about putting the toilet seat down. I've told you 100 times, you're not the only one in this. Put that to. And as she's yelling at him, they show her, they show the bathroom, and all of her makeup is spread out. And the guy has this much space to brush his teeth, makeup and brushes, and she owns the bathroom. It's a good word, Pastor. You got to be convinced of God's nature. That's what will translate also into the assurance of, I know who I'm praying to. And one thing that it says, he is covenant keeping. The Bible says he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Psalm 111:15:5. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. One of the great verses in the New Testament, Second Timothy, I think it is, or First Timothy, it says, and when we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, God doesn't react to us. Oh, that's how you're going to be? Well, this is how I'm going to be. We do that with each other. That's terrible. God says, regardless of how you are, I'm true to myself. We build on that. We bank on that. Hallelujah. That's who we're praying to. Number two, know God's character. We must be aware and convinced. Be convinced of God's plan. And I'm going to put in parentheses prophetic. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will be forever established. If God said it, he'll do it. He said, my word will not go out of my mouth and come back void. It doesn't come back empty. It will fulfill whatever I said. Now, God has ways and means, but he said, my word, once his word goes forth, you got to be convinced who you're praying to, and then you got to be convinced of the plan of this one God that is unchanging. You can bank on it. We just got to be stubborn about the plan of God. We may not know how, we may not know. And we're people that like to know how. That's what we do. We want to know the way. We want to know how. That's what Mary said. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And talks about how that she, and that holy thing which is in you shall be called the Son of God. She's first question, how can these things be? seeing I know not a man. We do the same thing. You get some prophecy. Wait a second. How is that ever going to happen? And you start thinking about all the reasons why you don't think it could, and so on and so forth. I'll tell you how. God's God. He didn't need your permission, and he doesn't need you to add anything. He just says, believe. I'll do the rest. Believe, pray, and obey. Just believe and obey. Watch what I will do. Be convinced of God's plan. We see this again in the book of Daniel, where Daniel was studying Jeremiah's prophecies, like I said before, and he began to seek God. Began to seek God and agree with those prophecies, with intercession, and he became a bridge from the prophecy to the manifestation. The prophet released the prophecy, but then the intercessor got a hold of what God said, and they became the bridge. What does a bridge do? It connects two bodies of land with a great gulf of water in between. An intercessor makes up the gap. They stand in between. God said it. It's got to be done there. Let's begin to pray and believe that God's plan will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even if God's got to take a businessman, and I can't tell you, I don't advocate going and paying a prostitute, and I would never say that, but this guy did that. And I'm not going to say God didn't tell him to do that. Maybe she was so far out, the only way God could have got a hold of her is that some guy hooks up with her. So he gives her money. She thinks one thing. She sits down. He sits down. He said, now let me read from Matthew. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, my goodness. What? And then the cab driver? Are you kidding me? That's amazing. I tell you, God has a sense of humor. He really does. He does. And again, Acts chapter 12, as we said, Peter was in prison. There was no... Now, isn't it amazing? They didn't say in the church, excuse me, are there any attorneys in the house? We got a brother that is really, he didn't belong in prison, and we just need a good attorney that will go there. You know what they did? They got on their knees and they spoke. They got into the court of heaven. And they had standing. How many know we have standing? You got to have standing to be in court. You can't just go to court and say, I just want to go to whatever you present, got to give you standing so that they'll hear the case. God says, you got standing. The blood of my son has made a way. What do you want to talk to me about? Well, we got a situation here, Lord. And they began to pray for Peter. And it was in the will of God. And God released him. And boy, oh boy, that church recognized. And when he came knocking on that door, while they were praying, I tell you what, they never had a problem after that getting people to come to the prayer meeting. Everybody wanted to come to that prayer meeting. So God didn't just deliver Peter. He has a way of doing a number of things. He was showing them, your prayers make a difference. They make a difference. Be convinced. Oh, I meant God's prophetic plan. Number three. What did I say? God's prophetic. Oh, here. Number three. Then be willing to be part of the answer. Be willing to be part of the answer. Jesus said these words to his disciples. You're familiar with them, Luke 10. Therefore, he said to them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray. Now, he gives them what to pray for. pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he says, go your ways, and behold, I send you forth as lambs. Pray that God will send laborers, and then he says, become the laborers. In other words, send your prayers before you. God just may be using you. You know, the more you pray about something, after a while you start getting invested in that thing. Your burden, your desire begins to increase for what God wants to do. You may find yourself just like Isaiah. All of a sudden, here am I, Lord. Send me. You start changing in prayer. And as a result of that, you start becoming the vessel God may even use to bring that prayer to pass. So always be willing to be part of whatever that answer is. You're the one praying. Nehemiah prayed. And then guess who was the one that went and was used of God to build that wall? Nehemiah. Nehemiah. That burden grew, and before you know it, God sent him. So I want to encourage you. Let me give you one more, and we'll end it with this. Let me give you one more. This is where a lot of us fall short. Pray until something happens. In other words, don't quit. So here's what I'm going to say. P-U-S-H. What does that spell? Don't stop pushing in prayer. Out of all the teachings Jesus gave in prayer, in Luke 18, he said, men ought always to pray and not to quit, not to faint. And he talked about the woman with the unjust judge. Remember that? Judge. It's one thing when she was at the courthouse, but how many know when he went home for dinner? Judge. He got up in the morning, opens the door, there's that woman again. Judge, would you hear my case? Oh, judge. He says, lest she weary me with her continual coming. All right, get in this court. What do you want? Avenge me of my adversaries. And Jesus basically said, by contrast, if the unjust judge will avenge this woman, how much more shall not God, he's unjust, shall not God avenge his own elect? Though he bear long with them as they cry day and night. In other words, what Jesus is saying, don't think God's not for you because it's taking time. There's other things that have to happen. There are situations God is coordinating things behind the scenes. That's why we continue to pray by faith. God brings it. Don't ever direct God in prayer how to do it. That's what a lot of times people make a mistake. They try through prayer to direct God how to work. No, no, no. That's where sovereignty must remain in God's control. I don't pray God direct God. I pray God's promise. I pray results. God determines how to bring that to pass. Because I guarantee you, he's got ways and means that you have no idea of. He'll use people you never thought are usable. He'll do things. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are much higher. And a lot of times the way God answers prayer will leave you scratching your head, even though you were the one praying for that answer. It's an amazing thing. That boss that you thought was the devil incarnate, you could have sworn he is the Antichrist. There's no question about it. And suddenly he comes and talks to you, and he's the one that God used. I'll leave you with this example, and we'll conclude. I know a man, probably one of the most brilliant men that I know. a great teacher of the Bible, got saved when he was 14. Brother Ed Bez in Countersport, raised in Countersport. I don't know if I told you the story, but if I did, indulge me. Well, up in Countersport, there was a woman that was a homeless woman, and she was like the town drunk or whatever. I think her name was May. I'm not quite sure. Or Sarah. I'm not quite sure her name. But this was a woman that had everything she had in a shopping cart. And she's in a town like Countersport, everybody knows her. And she'd be going down Main Street with that shopping cart. She had everything in a bag. You get within 5 feet of her, you could smell the alcohol. So you know what kids do with something like that. They make fun of her. And one day, she's pushing that shopping cart, and Brother Bez was about 13 years old. He's with his friend across the street. I think it's now where Sheets is, that area. They're there across the street, and he tells his friend, he has a rock. I bet you I can get that rock in that shopping cart. He goes, you better not do that. Oh, no, I can get in that shopping cart. Well, he throws that rock, and it hits that woman right in the head. And she falls flat. Well, these two kids take off through the woods. Next thing you know, the ambulance is coming. And, oh, my God, I hope you didn't kill her. No, thank God he didn't. So he just, and she used to sell stale donuts. She was like a beggar. She sold these stale donuts. And, you know, see, they were merciless. They used to make fun of her. Anyway, that little kid gets saved. Gospel Tabernacle is meeting in Pastor Miner's basement. That's where the church was for 17 years. And he was one of the youngest, one of the first young people that got saved in the church. And he got saved. Brother Miner would tell us the story. He was at that altar. There was a pool. He goes, Brother Phil, there was a pool of tears on the floor. I never saw a little kid cry like that. He was about 14 years old, Ed Bez. He's weeping. He's crying. He gets saved, and the church is excited about how God encountered this young man. He loves the church. And shortly thereafter, guess who starts coming to the church? That's exactly right. Old Sister Sarah, or May, comes, and he can't believe it. And he doesn't, so I'll be honest with you, I didn't have the best attitude. Like, oh, does she have to start coming? Bad enough people make fun of our church, and now she comes to our church. That's the church where the homeless lady goes. Like, what's that going to say about us? You know, it's going to say you're the church. That's what it's going to say. But that was his attitude. Well, anyway, when he was 17, he felt to go to Bible school, Elam Bible School. And back then it was a faith school, but he didn't really have the money. So I think he had enough money for the first semester, whatever. But he really didn't have the money. He was going to go there for 3 years. But by faith, was going to go, and they're all excited. He's the first student going to go to Bible school from Gospel Tabernacle. So Pastor Miner, on a Sunday morning, we're going to pray for Brother Bez. Remember when he got saved 3 years ago? Powerful. Now he's going to Bible school. The whole church is celebrating. They lay hands on him, and he's going to leave. Well, before he leaves, Miss Sarah comes with her bag that's always stained from those donuts. Brother Bez, I know you're going to be driving. You got quite a drive. I wanted to give you this. And he just like, oh, thank you, sister. You know, so he said they were always stale. So he was going to get in his car and throw them out the window. So he starts driving down the road, and he's, maybe there's a good donut in there. Who knows? He gets a little hungry. He reaches in there. Said, that's no donut. It's a wad of money. A wad. So this is the 1960s. $3,000. He can't believe it. This more than adequately pays his education. He's overwhelmed at this. So next time he comes back to visit, comes home, you know, he's very repentant of what his attitude was toward her. So he goes to Sister, I think it is May. I'm not sure, but I think it's May. He goes to her. Sister, he said, look, I thought you gave me donuts on that trip. I can't believe you gave me all that money. Well, she said, you know, Brother Bez, She said, that's all the money I had. And she said, I was never married, never had children, and the moment I saw you, I loved you. Oh, he felt even worse, you know. So I just wanted to invest in you. Okay. So he says, well, he said, I'm pretty ashamed of myself. Why? Well, he says, I hate to tell you, but remember years ago, he said, you were standing on a corner, and out of nowhere, you got hit in the head with a rock. And I threw that rock. I didn't mean to hit you. I meant to get in your basket, but obviously I missed, and I thought I killed you. I'm so sorry. Oh, she said, don't worry about it. She goes, I was so drunk, I didn't feel a thing. So, Ed Bez went on to, he's got more degrees than a thermometer. He wound up becoming a leading archaeologist in Israel. Yeah, lived in Israel. He is a doctor many times over. He's gone to colleges, schools, unbelievable. But the woman that began to fund his education is a vessel he would have never dreamed God used. Oh, my God, right? The one you almost killed, funded your education. This is the God that we serve. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's just turn to the Lord these few moments. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. And God, as we've spent these hours together looking in your word and considering how that you're a God that answers prayer. You're a God that hears. You're a God that invites us to come, and the way has been made and the veil has been torn from top to bottom. First, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for dragging our feet. We ask for your forgiveness and cleansing for doing everything but pray. But, oh God, may the spirit of prayer, may there be a renewed vision. May there be a renewed passion to spend time in your presence, Lord, and not only commune with you, but to work together with you, to see the advancement of the kingdom of God, to see the miracle working power of God released in our generation. Released, Lord. We take time right now and we lift up Jersey Shore. We lift up this community. God, we're asking for a mighty harvest. We're asking for an awakening. We're asking for the move of your spirit. May every curse, may every evil device be broken. May every incantation, may every spell, may every device of wickedness be broken. And may the kingdom of God prevail in this area, Lord. We ask that you would turn the hearts, Lord, even of those that are against you. Lord God, you said when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. We're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then from that, we're asking for this nation as we celebrate 250 years. God, let it be more than a celebration. Let it be a commencement of a great awakening in the name of Jesus. Even as there was a great awakening with the likes of Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and then Charles Finney. My God, we need another awakening in the name of Jesus. A history-changing awakening. Hallelujah. Get a hold of our president. Fill him with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we know you've touched his heart. He's opened the door for your witness in that White House. And he's surrounded by people that know you. And we want to thank you for that. But, Lord, we pray not just for the president. We pray for the man. You love the man. Donald J. Trump. That he'd know that his confession would be rock solid, that Jesus is Lord, that he would turn to you with all of his heart and fill him with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. He's bold in the flesh, Lord, but give him another boldness. May he boldly declare salvation, and even what was what Satan has used, even his own fleshy ways, let there be such a transformation that it will become a testimony to what God has done in his life. We also ask, as we've heard, that there was an plans for assassination attempt on his daughter. Protect his family. Protect Melania. Protect the cabinet. In fact, we pray for divine protection. Lord, there are those that are devising wickedness, evil mischief against this nation. We pray, Lord, that their schemes would come to naught. And we ask, Lord, show mercy to America. Awaken your church. Awaken your church. Awaken all of our hearts. Let there be a new spirit of prayer. Father, we thank you, for this is your will, your long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Iliamakai, in the name of Jesus. Obababakai, Iliatatakai. Even in this house, I pray a fresh release of the Holy Spirit, even at a new level, new depths, new heights, a new flow, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, a new hunger in the hearts of your people. We pray for the release of miracles, mighty signs and wonders, that it would be done in the name of Jesus. O Rebusilia Papakai, O Rebopakaya Lalakai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lamb of God, Lamb of God, how mighty is our God, how mighty is our God. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Ila babaka yetatakai, O ribosikia babakaya labuse, O ribosipia makai. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, posse pokaya na posse. Ila basaya makai. Ila makai era mose kapohya pokoya to pokai. Ila basando koya na pokai. Ila makur ribashe mamakai ala butia da kai. O reboshipi amakai. Ala bukai ala bukai ala busi. Imi amakai ala mututoko ira bukai. Ile apapakai ala bukai ala bukai. Ile ambabakai. I hear a word from the Lord that would speak even to the fiber of this church. Do not say, as Gideon said, for we are but the least, and we are not many. For even as I chose Gideon, and I raised him up, was it not through Gideon that I turned the nation? Was it not through Gideon that I showed my extraordinary power, and I set the enemy aflight, and a new day came into Israel. I would say unto this people, do not think our number is not many. Do not think we are but few, but only think we are mighty in God. And our God is mighty. For if you would believe, there's mighty things I shall do specifically in and through this house. In fact, it will cause you to wonder. I'm going to raise up through this place ambassadors. And I'm going to raise up individuals. In fact, there are some, they're not even here yet. I'm going to bring them. And in this place, they will know in their heart, the Lord has joined us. But these will be people that have callings. And they will step into different fields. And there will be treasure that I will bring forth out of this house that will make a difference. Missionaries are coming out of this house. Ambassadors are coming in this house. People of influence in all manner of ways are going to come forth out of this place. For I will do what I will do. And none could stop my hand. And none can ask, what are you doing? For I alone am God. I tell you, I just feel the unction of the Holy Spirit so strong on that. And I want to say, Pastor Don and Sherry, you've seen nothing yet. You've seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are stepping over into a new chapter. There is a fresh stirring. There is a fresh breath even upon you. It doesn't make sense. You would think, well, we would have had this at the beginning. What now? Because I'm doing something fresh. The same way God told Israel, this will become your first month. I changed their calendar when I brought them out. And the Lord says, I turned the clock back. Even though it was their fourth month, I said, this is the first one. And the Lord says, I'm doing the same thing in the realm of the Spirit, even though you've been here for years. But God said, I'm working a work as though you have not been here for years. And I'm breathing afresh. And there will be a fresh strength even to the prophetic at another level. The sword will be even sharper. I'm going to move you into new dimensions, even of visions and dreams. Oh, daughter, for you are chosen. I've reduced you. And it seems at times you said, Lord, there have been days when I felt stronger in the realm of the Spirit, but I have been molding you. You have submitted yourself like pliable putty in my hands, and you have allowed yourself to be moldable. You have allowed yourself to be shapeable. You have allowed yourself to be a vessel that I could shape. And the Lord says, I've been shaping and I've been forming, and I shall even do a fresh work, and there will be fresh words. I just keep hearing the word freshness over the both of you. It's a fresh day. There's a fresh breath. There's fresh expectation. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Father, over this congregation, over those that are here today, now may the Holy Spirit, who is the true intercessor. For sometimes we know not how we ought to pray as we ought, but he is one that maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he prays according to the will of God, according to the saints, for the saints, according to the will of God. And so, Lord, we ask, and I'm asking, that there would be a new release of prayer in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise.
Wow. Have you been blessed today? I mean, come on. It's so good to have been in the house of the Lord today, to hear the word of the Lord today. And so we just thank you all for coming and just really being challenged and growing, especially as it relates to our calling in the priesthood to pray. So we thank you for being here. We will dismiss you now, and we will, Pastor Phil will be bringing the word tomorrow morning. So those of you that are able to make it, we hope you all are. Service is at 10 o'clock, and we look forward to seeing you then. We bless you guys, and we release you. You're dismissed. We love you.